Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bobby Cobb, Gavin Williams, picking up where Ben Lively left off. You worried about, I don't want to,
are you worried about Ben Lively?
But it seems that the rotation is coming. Like, if you were going to start a playoff series right now, what would your rotation be? Like, there was a time Ben Lively was your number two. Now, that was before Alex Cobb got going and Matt Boyd really got going. Who would, like, well, if you were to start...
Bybee, if you had it set up, right, he's going your first game.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to do power ranking music, but it's like, because you really need three in a playoff series. So it would be Bybee.
You think...
Why am I drawing a blank?
Well, Gavin Williams.
Would you go Gavin
Boyd,
number two?
Cobb. Those are your four choices.
You would go Gavin Williams number two, though?
Cobb's got experience.
Yeah.
Not a ton, but...
Yeah. He's the elder statesman.
Yeah.
Now, what about Logan Allen? I'm kidding. You would go Gavin Williams number two?
I don't know if you would. The only thing that does deter me from him a little bit is just how young he is. He hasn't been there before, and you do have... Depending, you know, you got a month of Matthew Boyd and Alex Cobb still to see if they are ready. Neither one of them pitched at the beginning of the year, so they're just now hitting stride. Alex Cobb the other day, Sunday, was perfect through six, I believe.
Yeah.
And then came out, took the liner off the hand. He put his hand down and was coming at his leg.
Yeah.
Took a comebacker there. We were at the game. I thought it was pretty noticeable around 80 pitches. He looked like, okay, he's starting to wear on him a little bit. So in the next month, does he stretch out? Does Matt Boyd stretch out? But Bybee's the one that you know is over 100 now if you need him to be, although playoff baseball's not that way. And Gavin Williams is the other thing that definitely could be one of those guys, either two or three
in that
rotation.
And also... You know, just the fact that Boyd is your lefty, you know, how does that factor in to your strategy on how you would line him up in a playoff series?
Depending on who you end up playing, because I don't know if I hate the whole, well, the playoff started now, but I'm not sure who you would take on now if the postseason started now. I think that, who would you play, Owen? I mean, who would you go against? I got to see their lineups and how.
I got to have the standings up
here. Yeah, how heavy their lineups are.
So right now you'd be the 2 seed in the wild card, so you would take on... Believe you'd have a first round bye, and that would give you the Astros and the winner between the Astros. So it's probably the Astros and
the Twins.
Yeah, the Royals.
Oh, the Royals. Okay.
Yeah, we just talked
Twins
about
the Royals. They have the Twins over the Royals.
All right.
You know, we just also talked about Ben Lively, his innings pitched. I mean, he's way over where he's ever been. You know, as a starter. So, has he hit a wall? I mean, lately, you look at the last 6 starts, I mean, he's almost never making it into the 7th inning all season, really. But the last 6 starts, you know, he has definitely struggled, you know, more base runners.
Stephen Vogt did talk about it, whether or not if fatigue is an issue for Ben Lively, this starting now over the recent weeks.
I mean, for everybody, right? Everybody in the big leagues. It's hard to play a 6-month season, but Ben's thrown the ball well at times over the last couple, and obviously we monitor those things. And, you know, Ben's been great for us all year. I have full confidence he's going to come out next time ready to go.
Here's Ben Lively himself talking about his struggles here over the last couple of weeks.
Very frustrating. For me, I just want, you know, you got to do better. And at that point in my career where I'm like, no excuse, you just got to be better. Gets to a point in you and you're just like, I'm going to push myself better, and you got to get better, and there's only one way to fix it is getting back out there and doing it.
I mean, his August was by far his worst month, and then he follows it up with, you know, that effort from yesterday. So it's not, it, you know what, I'm not trying to be too hard on him, because what a surprise. I mean, he's 32 years old. He's never been a consistent starter in Major League Baseball, and he was excellent. He was nails for this team for a long time when we were dealing with the injuries.
Well, if you want to compare him to something that maybe people can relate to from the 8 years ago runs, right, Josh Tomlin would have great starts in the season, nothing that was super consistent, but then would be kind of that long reliever in the playoff scenarios when he was available.
He'd mess with your emotions a little bit.
Yeah, and they ended up kind of just making him a long guy, which once you hit the playoffs, you've cut down, but Lively could be one of those guys that ends up coming out. If you have a not great start by your starter, you pull him, you go to Lively.
Browns Cowboys coming up on Sunday. It's America's Game of the Week. Tom Brady will be on the call. However, there was a question last week. Now, Lima, I think you might have heard about this. We might have talked about this a little bit already. I'm not sure. I don't really remember. Recall.
Not with Anthony.
Yeah. Okay. Do you understand the problems that Tom Brady might be going through this week?
I didn't know this, but then apparently he wasn't going to be able to talk all that much about officiating or meet up with the teams on their normal, you know, week prep.
The Friday stuff.
Now, yeah. I believe that was if he was approved as an owner. I don't believe he's been approved as an owner as of yet.
Correct.
We have Adam Schefter, ESPN, on this to talk about Tom Brady and whether or not he's going to be good to go to watch the Browns and Cowboys before he calls the game between the Browns and Cowboys.
I think, though, that Tom Brady probably would think that, hey, he doesn't need to go to practice to understand how a player is playing, and he doesn't need to sit through meetings to understand how a player is playing, that he can do this on his own without that. So, and if there are some owners that want to impose rules like that that prevent him from going to a practice, then he probably won't go to practice. Again, there are some people that will be very careful about that. There are a lot of paranoid people in the league, but I think Tom Brady's going to go out, and he's going to go out and try to do the best job he can, and I'm fired up to watch him on Sunday in Cleveland against the Cowboys. He's going to do a great job because he loves the game. He cares about it. He knows exactly what drives these guys, and he's going to bring a unique perspective. There aren't many people who have operated at his level of success who have gone on to have successful broadcasting careers. True. And in my mind, that's probably just yet another obstacle, another mountain that he's looking to challenge, and I think he's going to do a great job.
The first half of that comment from Adam Schefter, I completely disagree with. Now, I don't know Tom Brady personally, clearly, but anything we've heard about the man is that he's a madman for film, a madman for information. Save your Spygate jokes, please. He's a madman for this type of thing. If he is denied access, I do think there's something in the back of his head that's going to bother him about being denied that access, because it's week one. So you can go, anybody, I believe, can go get NFL Plus and watch all 22 on NFL Plus. And he's an NFL player, so they got like a different system. Mm-hmm. They have their secret NFL system that the general public ain't allowed to see. So he's still got that. And I'm sure he's still got, maybe he doesn't have that access anymore since he might be an owner soon. But he still could get NFL Plus and watch the all 22 and break it down better than anybody. But he only has access to last year's or to preseason this year. This is week one. And a lot of these teams are doing vanilla things to not show anything. And you have a Browns offense here. I mean, am I not mistaken? Ken Dorsey's brought here to make this offense look different. Like, I think there's going to be some different looks on Sunday afternoon compared to what we've already seen in the preseason. So is he going back and watching Buffalo's offense with Josh Allen to see if he could pick up anything with Ken Dorsey? Not calling plays, obviously, but being involved in this offense. And for Mike Zimmer's defense. What is he doing to watch Mike Zimmer's defense here? I don't agree at all with Adam Schefter, that first part of that clip.
Yeah, that's interesting, because what is he going to be able to do? This is fascinating to me as he's getting set to call this game. Sunday, a bunch of people watching, and the Browns have what? A new offense, a new OC. Deshaun Watson has not played in the preseason. So what is he going to be basing what this new offense is supposed to look like off
of? I don't know. I would feel a guy like Tom Brady, where the entire country is going to be tuned into him. They are going to be curious about not just the Browns and Cowboys. That goes without saying. They want to see Tom Brady. The man's a major star. He's the greatest to do it. And they're going to want to see whether or not he's good at what he does. And I think that, yeah, he could probably go out there and just give his opinions of how things are going and tell you the why they had done things. But I would have to imagine a man who takes that much pride in whatever he's done, I bet he's probably pretty worked up about the lack of access he may get as a potential owner in the NFL. Because there are stringent rules about this where some people have bandied about maybe that the NFL would ask for a little bit more on their share than it would be, maybe like $1 million per team. I think I heard somebody say that once. I might have heard that from a fan. I don't remember where I had heard it. But they might ask for a little bit more money per team from Fox for putting him in there. But I think that right now, he would be... This is week one. If I were him, I wouldn't be freaking out. He conducts himself with confidence. He'd be okay. But I know in the back of his head, he doesn't think he could do the best job he could possibly be doing. Being able to see, talk to, pick up any sort of nuance from a coach, from a player, watching practice, seeing the Browns go through a walkthrough, things like that. I think that that's part of the job of being able to do it. I think that's part of the art of being able to do that. And what a real color commentator brings to the broadcast. Not guys who eat their breakfast during broadcasts like the goofball did it with you that one day. That was just embarrassing and unprofessional. I'm not going to name names, but I should. But this is really good. As we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we welcome in J.W. Johnson, the Executive Vice President and partner of your Cleveland Browns. J.W., good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing?
We're doing well. Are you getting people excited for this game on Sunday here?
I don't know. I just heard I'm the backup quarterback, so I better be ready to go.
Have you been taking mental reps? That's what's important.
Well, yeah, for sure. It's good to be with you guys. Yeah, I mean, how can you not be excited? We're fired up. I mean, it's the 2024 NFL season. We're kicking off tonight with football. We got football tomorrow night, and then, you know, 4:25 at Huntington Bank Field against the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, so it's a big weekend, and we're excited and ready to roll.
Well, as I often do weekly for the Cleveland Browns, I look into secondary market. We start to see what tickets are going for. Make no mistake, this is, as anticipated, a home game to start a season in a long time. Have you felt that, knowing that not only is it a big opener with big expectations coming off a playoff year, but it is the Cowboys? You're welcoming in a national broadcast crew and Tom Brady doing his first game.
Yeah, listen, it's a big one. I mean, anytime you're on America's Game of the Week with Fox and you're opening up the season at home against, you know, Cowboys are obviously a big draw. Look, I think we'll have close to 30 million plus people watching this game on Sunday. So because of, you know, the Cowboys, because of us, because it's week one. And look, Tom Brady calling his first game. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, I think a lot of people weren't sure what he was going to do and excited for Tom to have this opportunity. And yeah, it's huge. I mean, we just hope that, to your point, Anthony, that, you know, people are holding on to their tickets and Browns fans are showing up, and I don't want to see a bunch of, you know, blue and gray and stars running around. I want to see a bunch of dog bones and orange and brown. So that's our goal.
Are you going to maybe show Jerry Jones to the wrong suite? Make sure. I always wonder, do you guys entertain the other owners in for dinner? Is there hobnobbing or is there a rivalry between these other owners?
Well, the Jones family has been great to us ever since we entered the league. And we obviously, even at the league meetings, we sit across them at the table and gotten to know them very well. So listen, if we usually they're in town, we'd love to have them for dinner, but I think they're coming in on Sunday morning. But no, I mean, obviously we've got a lot of good partners with the rest of the ownership group, and we want to entertain them as much as we can, but we're hoping we can give them a big L on Sunday. That's the best way to entertain them.
All right, J.W. Johnson with us. One last thing on the broadcast on TV, Tom Brady, there's been reporting that other NFL owners, ownership groups, are a little hesitant to open up their teams, their locker rooms, their coaching staffs to Tom Brady because of what he may be getting himself into in NFL circles down the road. Is that something you care about at all?
I mean, look, obviously if anybody has an opportunity as a former player to be able to have ownership, I mean, I think they've given a lot to the game, and if the game can give back to them, I think that's great. Look, I mean, I think there's still a lot of things that need to be worked out for Tom and his approval for ownership and stuff. So I really not much to comment on there. I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out. But we're, like I said, we're just happy to have him calling the game and his first one, and hopefully it's an entertaining one for him and Fox.
I watched the preseason broadcast with you and Chris and Nathan and Aditi. I know you talked a little bit about fan experience there. Yep. Can you tell us, JW, about how some of the fan experiences will change for 2024 at the stadium?
Well, look, I mean, obviously our three core pillars here at the organization is win, obviously, first and foremost, and we want to do that on Sunday and every time we step on the field, and fan and community. And I think for our fans, I mean, look, we want to put on the best game time performance we can, and I think that starts with the fans. I mean, we need people to be in the building game time on time, as we've talked about in years past. I mean, get in there early. I think everybody will be a little frothy coming out of the Muni lot for a late kick, but we need everybody in the building on time. We've got some great things going on for the home opener. Don't want to miss the dog pound, Captain. You don't want to miss kind of some early entertainment as the team comes out of the tunnel. We've got a great halftime performance. I think everybody knows the Ohio State marching band will be there, and maybe we'll get Anthony to dot the I, but we'll work on that.
Yeah, Kenny will be disgusted. He does not want OHIO
lies
to go from you know, end zone to end zone. He doesn't want to hear that at the stadium.
It's not true.
Hang on, Sloopy.
That's not true.
Yeah, I mean, the key thing is we were 8-1 at home last year, and I think a big part of that was our fans. You guys were, if you weren't at the Jets game, and I know, Ken, you were there working, but it was one of the most electric environments we've had in a long time. Obviously, clinching a playoff berth, but the fans were outstanding. And so we need them to be doing that all game long. Our defense feeds off of it. We score a touchdown, and we're kind of being loud. It's the best environment in football when we're playing well and the fans are really into it. So, one, we need the fans to be there on time, be loud, be energetic, cheering on the boys, and being quiet on offense and fired up on defense. So those are a lot of things that we want from a fan experience, and that's just going to be driven by the fans.
Can you tell us who the dog pound captain is going to be yet?
I will just tell you they will be, air quotes, rocking. How about that? So you have to think about it there.
Okay. Lyman,
our minds are already spinning here. We're trying to think
of racing here.
J.W. Johnson with us. So obviously 923, the fan, is a proud partner with the Cleveland Browns, and we are the home of the Browns. We air the games each and every week right here on 92.3 The Fan. So unfortunately, Jim Donovan is not going to be with us any longer. He's dealing with, you know, his...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
His health issues, and we're obviously wishing him the best. So do we have any news as to where the broadcast team is going to go, at least as far as this week?
Well, first of all, I mean, our thoughts and prayers are with Jim and his family. The guy, what a fighter he has been, and what he's dealing with his cancer, and it's absolutely unfortunate. Devastating what he's kind of dealing with, and man, we're going to miss Jim, and we missed him last year, and him coming back, and again, being the dog pound captain and calling games for us. I mean, the guy's a true fighter, and I know he'll continue to fight, and we're going to miss him, and we're going to continue to find ways to continue to honor Jim, and again, it's hard shoes to fill. But we have identified somebody that's going to come in and replace Jim. And, you know, this person helped us out last year and is clearly a Browns fan. And so Andrew Siciliano is going to be taking Jim's place this season. We'll see how things go and progress. But we're really excited to have Andrew on board. He's a true professional. He'll do a great job. And his passion for the Browns is just as high as mine and everybody else that's listening to the show. So we're excited about Andrew to be a part of the broadcast team with Nathan and everybody else.
Yeah, he really did a good job on the air last year when he had to fill in for Jim. So you're right about that. J.W. Johnson joining us here on the show, Executive VP, partner of your Cleveland Browns. So we get ready for a season. You know, we had the stadium naming ceremony go on earlier this week. A lot of people, JW, asking about the stadium, the future of the stadium, things like that. What can you, I know there's things you can't say, but what can you tell us, if anything?
Well, we're obviously super excited about Huntington Bank and their partnership with us for 20, hopefully 20 plus years. And Huntington Bank Field is going to be great. What a great day the other day to kick that off. And hats off to our internal team and Dave Jenkins and our COO and his group for getting that done in a quick manner. So, one, really fired up about that. And as far as it comes to the stadium, I mean, look, we've got a lot of work to do. You know, people have seen kind of visions and plans on what potentially we'd like to do. But, again, still a lot of work to do. We're going to just kind of keep playing it out. But at the end of the day, we want to do what's best for the Browns and clearly, you know, for our fans. I mean, you know, I've said this before, Cleveland deserves nice things, and hopefully we can get to a place where we have something nice in the future. But, again, a lot of work to do, and we're just excited to be playing in Huntington Bank Field on Sunday and for the foreseeable future and keep getting a lot of wins in that building. So we'll see what happens.
I will say one of the questions that came up from fans on something like this, they're always wondering, what's in it for me? What do I get out of the stadium and a naming rights deal? And I posited to them, hey, I don't know, maybe this is more money in a general revenue stream or operating revenue that could go towards players. Could you dumb it down for people that aren't accountants on how maybe that could help?
Look, anytime we have, you know, obviously the way this works, we have a lot of our national revenue with the NFL, and so a lot of that's from the media deal and other partnerships, and there are local revenue, which comes from ticket sales and corporate partnerships. And so all that goes to the greater good of, you know, helping out, doing facilities here in the building. You know, we just pumped a bunch of money into the building and built a world-class weight room, and which we needed. I'm sure some of you guys have seen, and the players are ecstatic about that. And so all those things we're doing are for the betterment of the players. And at some point, yes, that does help us out to be able to have the ability to go sign free agents or re-sign our guys. So at the end of the day, the more revenue we have, the better it is for us and for the team.
Oh, and just one last thing.
For the fans, right? So we can put a good product on the field.
And record time, by the way, to get that signage up. I have to say, that was expedited quickly. Just one last thing. I saw there was a report that came out. It looks like it's official now in Buffalo that there will be PSLs with their new stadium. They range from 8,000 per seat to 50,000 per seat. Is that something that the team would be looking into? Is that something you think the fans in Cleveland, you could subject them to?
I mean, listen, anytime you have a new building, I think that's something that you have to look at. We're a long ways from that, Anthony, but we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, we've got to get a lot of things done before we start thinking about PSLs for a new building. So once we get to that point, we'll come up with a plan, but I can't answer that currently.
J.W. Johnson joining us here on the show. So the facility, a lot of people came through during training camp, looks a lot different than what it used to 15 years ago, 10 years ago. What are maybe some future plans you could share with us about the facility? Because the new weight room looks great. The third level looks great. What are some of the things you guys got planned in the future?
Well, we're hoping here, as some of you have seen, there's a lot of the buildings or homes are gone. We're working with our partner, University Hospitals, to potentially get a clinic and do some things here. We're going to work on a community field. There could be some hotels and residential units as well. So We're looking at a lot of different things and how we can develop out Berea and have a great district here for fans and businesses and people to kind of live, work, and play and be around the facility. So we're hoping that'll get going here in the next couple of years, but we're excited about our partnership with UH and obviously Cross Country Mortgage being here. So we'll see what happens, but some good plans ahead, I think, which would be a lot of fun and create more fan experiences. We have other training camps and other events around the building.
How has, when I went to college and I would go down to Columbus, and it was a real mix of the three teams in the area between Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland. You guys have planted a flag in Columbus. How has that gone with putting your footprint down there and making sure that fans down there, football fans, which there are plenty of them, and there's plenty of Buckeye fans,
sure,
how many of them now root for the Browns on Sunday after the Buckeyes on Saturday?
Well, I'll just say this. I mean, obviously, the crew, we're excited about what's going on down there. And if you hadn't been down to lower.com field, I highly recommend you take the trip down there. It's a beautiful building, and the team's playing well, and it's a fun experience for the kids. So, if you ever want to bring the boys down there, you let me know. We'll get you taken care of.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, we obviously want to continue to keep building the brand, and I think we're working on that market down there. You know, it's kind of a challenge for some people to get up here from Columbus, but we'll see. If we end up making a move to Brook Park, I think it'll be a little easier for people from Columbus to make it up here. But we're doing our best to kind of build the brand across the state and throughout the region.
You know, I've always wondered, you know, after the Deshaun Watson contract, we're always wondering, okay, where is this going to hurt the team financially? And what the capologists, at least those on social media, have said is, as long as the Haslams are willing to spend the amount of money that they're willing to spend on the roster and have that ready to go at any time, that it's not ever going to be that punitive to them. Do you take pride in the fact that the Browns have one of the most, if not the most expensive roster almost yearly now in the NFL?
Well, look, I think that's just the way it's going. I mean, I think you see a lot of these contracts for a lot of players and the amount of money that people are making. You know, it's just going to continue to go up the way the cap continues to go up. And obviously currently with the media deals, I mean, it's just good for everybody. But look, I mean, since we've been here, it's been lean, and obviously, you know, we want to continue to find ways to win. Andrew and Paul and the team have done an outstanding job building this roster and getting creative on getting the right guys in here and figuring out how to sign them and keep us under the cap, and then candidly rolling things over so we have enough cap to be able to get players that we want to re-sign or sign in free agency. So our goal every year, and like I said, we've learned a lot since we've been here, is to put the most competitive team on the field, and I think we've done that. I mean, heard a lot of people talking about the Browns and loving the fact that nobody's given us a chance, and we've got a really good football team, and we're excited about Deshaun. He looks great. He's healthy. We went through a bunch of quarterbacks last year, still finished 11-6. Unfortunately, we picked a bad day to have a bad day in Houston, and you know, I think a lot of the guys here have a bad taste in their mouth, and they're ready to go. So just everybody keep doubting us, and we'll just show up on Sundays and show them who we are.
J.W. Johnson joining us, Executive VP Partner, your Cleveland Browns. It's been over a decade of ownership with the family now. How much has your roles changed as owners within the league? You've been very open about some of the ups and downs of ownership. Now that there's new owners coming in, have you found more lean on you for advice in how to take over franchises?
Can you cut out there for a second? I'm sorry. Oh. Do you mind just repeating that?
That's fine. Been in the league for over a decade now. A lot of new owners have come in since. You guys have been very open about some of the things that you've done over this last decade here. Have you found owners have started to come to you for advice on ownership within the NFL?
You know, I mean, some people, I'll tell you this, when we first got involved in the league, I think a lot of people would help you from a business perspective, but a lot of people would tell you to go take a long walk off a short pier when it came to football advice. So obviously super competitive, but I think between Jimmy and Dee and us, we want every team to be as successful as they possibly can on the business side, because that's just good for everybody, and seeing the valuations of what these teams are going for now. So a little bit of here and there, but I mean, like I said, we've got 31 other partners, and we want everybody to be as successful as they possibly can. But when it comes to Sundays and we're playing them, I mean, we don't want to give them any love whatsoever.
So Sunday, 4:25 kickoff over at Huntington Bank Field.
There you go.
You have a lot of people coming into town. What's the last message here before we let you go? What you say to Browns fans, not just about Sunday, but throughout the entire season?
Yeah, listen, we're just fired up for everybody. I mean, it's like I said, that last game was pretty tough considering how well the team was playing. But again, get in there, be on time, be loud. You know, we want to be up there. The NFL ranks teams and fan experience, and there's some friends of ours in Baltimore that candidly are usually up at the top. And I want our fans to be able to compete with them, to show up, be loud, have a great time, be engaged in the game, and you know, just support these guys. They work their tails off day in and day out. I know everybody can armchair quarterback and say, you know, this guy's not doing that, but I promise you, we're working hard. We got a great team here. We got a great coaching staff. Kevin's getting these guys ready to roll. So be proud to be a Browns fan, which I know everybody is, and have a great season, and let's go.
Let's go. Come on. Let's go.
Let's go.
That's right.
Let's go.
It's always good when Michael Stanley plays. Yeah. JW, thank you so much for the time. Good luck this season, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great to be with you guys. Let's go.
Yes, sir. JW Johnson, Executive VP Partner of your Cleveland Browns. Andrew Siciliano, you'll hear him with Nathan Zagura and Gerard Cherry on the sideline coming up Sunday, 4:25 kickoff from Huntington Bank Field.
Man, Andrew Siciliano, I know his grandparents were from Cleveland. I used to listen to him on the Tony Bruno show when I was in college.
Oh, my God, that's right.
And he would talk about his Browns fandom. And so now, all these years later, to hear it come full circle to him doing the games weekly. And, of course, you can catch all those right here on 92.3 The Fan. Congratulations to him. Obviously, it's with heavy hearts. We're going to be thinking of Jim. I know Andrew will be thinking of Jim, a tough guy to replace, a guy that really you can't replace. I mean, let's be honest. That voice will be synonymous with Cleveland Browns football forever. But the show does go on, and it's going to be Andrew Siciliano right here.
Yep, right here, 4:25, coming up on Sunday, here on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan. And remember, you can hear it on the free Odyssey app if you live within 100 miles of downtown Cleveland. So if you're at 101 miles, get to a parking lot and make sure you can listen to it right here on The Fan, because it's going to be a big one. Obviously, Dallas Cowboys are in town. And I do remember the last time they came was during the 16 or 17 year, one of the lean years, and it was like all Cowboys fans. Was the last time
I
came.
I totally
now,
remember that.
I think this is going to be different because it is week one, because the team is successful now, or is a contending football team, the Cleveland Browns are. Did you see, I'm going to put you on the spot here, what was the latest get-in price on the secondary market?
Yeah, yesterday I think it was around 240, 250.
250.
But those are the worst seats in the house, and those are individuals. If you were looking for two together in good spots in the stadium, my God, lower bowl.
Yeah.
Looks like they've went down a little bit. I got two together with fees right now, 171.
Yeah, what happens is, I can tell you what happens is people do, because they want to go to the home opener.
Yeah,
what fun is it to have season tickets?
Right.
And then to unload a game like this. It's not fun, but you'll list them at a crazy price.
Prices dropped. I think prices went, all right, we didn't get a nibble. We're going to the opener.
We're going to this game.
And so, I think there is, especially if you've only paid X amount of dollars for those tickets and you can make double or triple your money and help you pay off the rest of them.
And you know what that tells me, though? What it tells me is you list those prices at crazy high values, thinking if a Cowboy fan is going to fly in, they got to buy the tickets.
Right.
That tells me that these are Browns fans hanging onto their seats. And it is not going to be one of those takeovers the way it can be in December when you're 3-whatever. Like, I think this is going to be a great home field advantage.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
As long as they keep Mitch from attending the game. As long as we don't let him have a press credential either. I don't need him in the press box.
Zeke Elliott is back on the Cowboys.
Yes.
You said you were a Cowboy fan because of Zeke Elliott.
No. You did this the other day with Rodney McLeod, so you never corrected yourself, by the way.
No, I don't need to correct myself, and I don't need to correct myself in front of Rodney.
There's no fandom for the Cowboys anymore, full-time or part-time. None at all right now.
Do you or do you not still
you
own a Cowboy
right
jersey?
Now at the end of the sentence.
Yeah, he said right now. Do you or do you not still own a Cowboy jersey?
It's not in my place.
Do you or do you not still own a Cowboy jersey? Answer the question.
Technically, no.
Do you or do you? So it's your dad's jersey now?
No, he doesn't wear football jerseys.
So whose jersey is it? It's just some random jersey hanging up in a closet?
It is sitting in a house 60 miles from here.
So you're saying that your dad just keeps things that aren't even his, that aren't even his family's in his house?
I still have mementos in my house like most people do when they move out of their parents' house. So,
well, that's just going to happen. If Dallas wins, he'll have his folks overnight the jersey so he can have it.
You see, this is what happens is my stuff is still my stuff at my dad's house. It's been years since I've been there, and gradually he brings it along as time goes on, including my mother's ashes. But those are my mother's ashes, and those belong to me now. So am I a part-time fan of my mother now, or am I a full-time fan of my mother now, Mitch?
I would hope full-time.
You're either all in or all out as a Browns fan, so you better pick your place and go.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.